Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host this week, the very, the man they call the smug one. But it turns out his real name, as he should be known, the radical leftist, Brad.
I can be smug if I'm holding a 14-year Glenlivet in my hand, right?
That's pretty
smug drink.
I'm here. I'm actually drinking something out of a can, like some sort of regular guy,
like the working man.
Like the working man. I got like a hat on, disheveled beard. Yeah. Now it's a fancy mead, so you know, like working man, but like
We went oppo today. I have the liquor, and you have the beer. So
well, Brad, which means you'll be the right winger. this week. So we do have plenty to talk about. So we're going to jump right in. So first off, actually, you know what? Before I'll give the details of this story, and then I have a very serious question, Brad, that I think needs to be answered. As we are not exactly close to the first 100 days, but we're moving along, right?
We're like 2/3 there.
Biden is now officially far ahead of schedule for vaccinations. He basically said, look, they're going to do 100 million vaccinations in the first 100 days. Immediately, the media was like, impossible. This is impossible. No one could do it. And then at about 30 days, they were like, don't you think that number's too low?
Yeah, like
because he was crushing it. So they had to switch it up.
Well, which he rightfully said. And see, this is one of the things that I love about Joe Biden that you don't normally get from most other presidents or really any politicians, is that he just fucking – like, he's a dude. Like I know he's been in Congress forever, but he's just a fucking guy. And, like, when they said that to him, he's like, when I first said that, he's like, he told me that it was a ridiculous goal. He's like, make up your minds. Come on.
he has no problem. It just – because he has no filter.
Right.
And so he has no ability to be like, nah, get the fuck out of here. Like, nice try, assholes. Which I appreciate because that's true. So he has – his administration has surpassed the 100 million vaccinations in 60 days. So with 40 days to go before he hits his first 100 days, he has not only met that goal, but he has crushed it.
And in fact, by the time we do get to 100 days, it is very likely that we'll probably be well over 200 million vaccinations.
Oh, without a doubt. Because it was like 101 million the last time we did a show.
Yeah.
And so like a week ago. So yeah, in 40 days, none. Get out of here. They're going to crush it. I did see a statistic from the CDC that 1 in 6 Americans is fully vaccinated now, which is really quite impressive.
That is impressive. It's higher than I would have expected, honestly.
Yeah, way higher.
For fully vaccination, like I would have expected. I mean, that wouldn't sound off if we're talking about first dosage. But yeah, fully vaccinated. That's
1 in 6.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
that's my father-in-law. He just got his second shot the other day. I think my mother-in-law went in for her first one today. My mom's been fully vaccinated, my sister, so yeah, a lot of people.
What about you guys? You
and your wife? Not yet. So my wife, I think, just got her confirmation appointment. Nice. I am too low on the priority list, so I've not received a phone call yet. So, but I'm waiting to get there. I'm in, if you're going on the Maryland scale, I'm in phase 2B technically. 2C actually. 2C. So I'm still a ways away, but Baltimore County, I might be able to get it faster through them. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. I had my first shot, already. So, I was impressed by the speed at which it got done, but, in Maryland, things are just bullshit right there.
Right.
Like I got a link from somebody. I signed up. They asked me what my job was. I said office worker. They're like, that's fine. How old are you? I told them. They were like, that's fine. And they're in groups. Prerequisites are all in quotes, right? Because we have a governor who doesn't really give a shit. much like the former president did. So he just threw everything.
And he's done a pretty shit job of organizing. So it's like, we just need to get shots in people's arms, because if we don't, then we're going to end up wasting a lot of fucking vaccine. Like, if we don't
get
this fucking train of boots.
That's it. So. Yeah, that's it. So, like, if you can get it, like, I was scheduled, my first one was scheduled for the 31st of this month. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of mine sent me a link. He was like, hey, I know this link works for, but it's like one person. Like, if you click on it, like, he's like, because his wife was already fully vaccinated. He was like, mm-hmm. if I click on this for her, then it's dead, right? So he was like, I'm just going to forward the email. I'm not even going to open it. I'm just going to forward it to you. And I clicked on it. It was like, here's one. It just happened to be on my birthday. I was like, oh, all right. Like, rock and roll. So I got it a couple days early. So it was great. Over 100 million in basically 60 days is pretty impressive. They have done more than 3 million a day at this point. Like, well, that's been the record, only, which is awesome.
Not only 100 million in 60 days, but 100 million in 60 days starting from basically nothing.
Right. Starting from zero. Right. It's not like there was a plan already in place and they just walked in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not like they were just, you know, it's not like the ball was handed off to them already in motion. Like, they were starting from a standing stop.
Right. And so, look, I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. So that brings me to my question. Is Joe Biden doing a good job?
It's hard to argue that he's not right now. And I think his approval ratings would share that sentiment.
What are they now? Do you know?
I want to say he's in like, I think he's like 59 or 60% approval.
Right no now. Way it should be that low. At this point, no way it should be that
You're
low.
You're right. But I mean, Republicans though, right? I mean,
right. You know. But like, but also Democrats. Like,
yeah.
Like I, where I got mine done, here's a funny little like story. Where I got mine done at the state fairgrounds, mm-hmm. right? Which I'm sure you've been to as a kid, right?
Like, I've been as a kid, and I did a one of my fire EMT training classes there.
Yeah. Enough, so you realize how very country it is, right?
Yeah.
At the actual location.
Well, funnily enough, so for those of you that don't live in the Baltimore area, it's just the state fairgrounds itself that is like country ass country. Like, everything around it is just like
it's suburbia. Suburb.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's really shit. Weird.
But it's like, you enter the country nexus when you enter the grounds
so
of the Maryland State Fairgrounds.
So I got my vaccination there, and I got it done in the cow palace where they judge cows.
Yeah.
So it was a giant.
That's where my firefighter training was in the horse racing, like concourse, basically.
Right. incidentally, we were the symbolism of a bunch of people being herded into a building they judge cattle to get a vaccine is just hilarious to me. But the other part is like the building next to it literally had a sign out front that says swine judgment, which I thought was hilarious. The fairgrounds are like wildly country. It is. It's such a bizarre part.
It's a weird place to put them, honestly.
Yeah, like there are other country ass parts of the state where it would fit in more.
Yeah, like it's right next to 83. Like, it's literally right off of 83. Like, you come off 83 and boom, you're there. Like, it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird. So
I got mine done at the old Cow Palace. So, you know, how about that? Me and Devin Nunes' cow. Look, I think this is impressive. I think that he is doing a good job. This episode kind of dedicated to the things that are happening.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like not only has he accelerated the vaccine rollout, which is huge. He got the stimulus pass or the Recovery Act pass. Like that, like that's in 2 months. Like that's enormous. And again, obviously not him alone. Like, you know, Democrats in Congress.
No, you got to give him all credit.
But if Trump was president, I would find it incredibly hard to believe. Like, maybe you get the recovery plan passed in this amount of time, because again, that's driven by Congress more than anything else. Right.
It wouldn't look like that.
Honestly, it wouldn't look like that at all, because if Trump was president, you'd probably have a Republican Senate as well in that regard. But would we be this far along on vaccine distribution? I find it incredibly hard to believe, considering what we saw from them in the last, you know, 2-3 months of his presidency.
I mean, they bragged about buying 2 million vaccines at one point.
Right.
Wow, 2 million? Okay. Like, who is that for? Yeah, rich people.
Meanwhile, we're loaning out 4 million between Canada and Mexico now.
Right.
Because we have so much vaccine, and just like, we don't even know what to do with all this.
Right. Like, we're getting ready to hit a surplus. Like that's how quickly we're moving. And you know, it is also incredibly obvious that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is really helping to boost those numbers too, right? Sure. Because every time you get injected, that's somebody across the finish line completely, which is awesome. So yeah, I think that's an impressive story. He jumped right out there and said that shit early on, and I was like, I hope you make it, because if you don't make it, they're gonna run you into the ground for that one. But he did that shit with style,
and
man.
And it's so funny too, like just to. Even though Trump was only 4 years, it's so crazy how his tendencies and what things that he did like kind of implemented themselves into our brain on how presidents behave. Like, it's weird that Biden's not out there like thumping his chest and like talking shit. Like if this was Trump and the same thing was happening, like he would be fucking giving press conferences every goddamn night telling people to kiss the fucking ring.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I don't need that from Joe Biden, obviously, because I think that's weird, and I'm not a sycophant, so I don't need to be like, oh, tell me how awesome you are, great leader. But I do need Democrats to adopt like 15% of that. Like, you got to get out there and let people know, because frankly, people don't know shit. Like, they don't, you know, they don't. Like, I literally just saw someone the other day say Democrats have done nothing for anyone since Biden has been president. I'm like, yo, that is categorically incorrect.
Yeah, but I listened,
they don't know.
Listened to an interview with Bernie Sanders. He did Ezra Klein this week. And, you know, he was talking about, people that, say crazy things about Democrats and this other thing. He's like, they're going to see a, family four, $5,600 check. And maybe you think that Democrats, aren't so bad. And I'm just like, I think you're giving Republicans way too much credit. Like you're giving Republican voters like way too much credit as far as what, the things that are entrenched in their mind about Democratic politicians.
No, they take that money and they go, cool. And they never think about where it came from.
Right.
Well, there was a report today that Republicans that were surveyed thought a third of Republicans that were surveyed believe that Republicans supported the voted for the COVID relief plan. A third.
Not a single goddamn one.
And that's why when midterms come and people go, how the fuck could you possibly vote for them? They don't know, dude. They don't pay attention to the news, just like plenty of Democrats and liberals don't pay attention to the news. They get their news from social media, just like a lot of liberals and Democrats do. Right. Like, they live in an echo chamber.
They do it. And they're just stupid. I talk.
There's also that part.
I mean, literally, like I talked to someone who spoke to someone that lived in Florida today at work. And this dude literally thought that if Joe Biden dies, Kamala Harris becomes president and Nancy Pelosi becomes the vice president, as if the way the presidential chain of succession works is that everyone just moves up a place in line.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
Everyone so does. like Pat Leahy becomes Speaker of the House. Tony Blinken gets pulled out of Secretary of State and gets thrown in the Senate and is somehow the longest serving member of the Senate of the majority party. Yeah. So like everyone just moves up one space in line. That's how it works, apparently, Jay.
Obviously. When the president dies. Because like if you have a row of dominoes, if you take one, like the rest of they come behind it. People don't know.
Yeah, these are what these people believe.
Right.
So yeah, but they're certainly not going to believe that Democrats had any hand in getting them, relief that they might really need right now financially.
Right. And they literally just go, both sides are the same. Right. Both sides don't do anything. And then like both sides don't do anything. Man, I can't believe I bought that TV with that check. Who do you think cut the check? Like, I don't understand that. Surely I'd be like, well, who the fuck wrote this check? This is awesome. But Trump went out and was like, let me write my name on it. Biden was like, I'm not going to do that. And look, I'm not even mad that he didn't do that. I'm just saying, like, maybe in the memo line say, no Republicans voted for it. Like, I would be fine with it.
I would have preferred that as opposed to Joe Biden, like, putting his name on the check. Yeah. Like, I no Republicans voted for this, I think is the most effective.
Yeah, it'd be like, all right, that tells me everything I need to know about this bill. Did you like it? Cool. Well, guess what's happening? Those guys didn't do shit for you. Next up, Biden infrastructure plan and jobs plan is aiming for a $3 trillion price tag. Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a massive infrastructure bill with universal pre-K, free community college, and a lot of climate measures.
You mean to tell me that it's infrastructure week and they didn't send me an email?
They did not. To notify me? And it's not a way to cover up for some racist shit the administration did?
Son of a bitch. Man, I gotta imagine that Secretary Mayor Pete is rubbing his hands together.
Let's go, baby.
Ready for
look,
this?
Look, I think we said this on the last episode. But if we didn't, I think it should be pretty obvious. If nothing else, the train systems in this country have to be upgraded, right? Like,
there's a lot more besides that, though. So
no, but I'm saying who the president is,
right?
What he is known for. This guy's got to be thinking to himself, this is my time to put your stamp, the Joe Biden stamp, on massive increase in trains in this country. That would be awesome. Like, that would be an awesome legacy for him. Like, look, known for taking the fucking train from DC to Delaware every day. Now you can go from LA to Vegas in, 4 hours or whatever the fuck. I don't know, man. That would be my thing. I'd be like, hell yeah, you remember this shit. Like the highways and shit like that with FDR. Like, do it. Fuck it. Go for it.
It's but besides that, like, I don't understand how this works in an infrastructure bill, but whatever. Universal pre-K, awesome. Free community college, awesome.
There's like multiple packages.
Right.
Like, it's not just infrastructure, but there's a big part of it that's infrastructure.
Yeah. But this would be incredible. And like I said, something that could actually possibly happen. Joe Manchin wants to spend $4 trillion in infrastructure. So, like, we got the hardest vote already. You can put it into budgetary process.
Wow.
Then you're good to go. Not enough, unfortunately, for the ultra progressives, Jay, or the neoprogs, as I'm fond of calling them. Sunrise Democrats said that $3 trillion, not enough money. Joe Biden, don't you know any better, you idiot, for infrastructure? Their suggestion was that we need to put forth a $10 trillion infrastructure plan.
Come on, guys. Look, I get it. We need a massive infrastructure deal. $10 trillion?
Yes.
You think that could pass?
$10 trillion. Literally half of the current national deficit. in one bill, in one shot. So there you go. This would be fucking awesome.
Yo, there's so many Democrats who would be like that. No, come on. That's insane. And not even just Joe Manchin. Like, a lot of Democrats would be like, $10 trillion.
It's just a stupid number. I think.
But that's the point. It's an unreachable number, so they can just bitch and complain.
I think the other thing too is we have to really look at how these are being produced. Like, you have other countries around the world that are in, like, civilized countries, like, that are economic giants, where it costs a fraction to produce things like rail and work on roads and stuff like that than it does here in the US. And I think that's a big thing we need to figure out too, as well, before we get cracking on this stuff. Cause it doesn't make any sense. Like, I think I heard, like, in Paris, it's like $300 million. To lay a certain amount of rail that the same amount would cost, like billions of dollars in New York City.
Of course.
It's wild.
All right. Look, I think they're moving in the right direction. I do. I think this is impressive. I mean, especially after the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. That's impressive. Now, what's interesting as a sort of a subpart to this is they're going to use reconciliation again. They got two more shots at this.
Not only that, but they're also looking to raise most of this money through
wealth tax.
Let's tax fucking increase. Do it. Let's do it, baby. Corporate tax rate up to 28%.
Yes.
And a wealth tax. Look, let's fucking go.
Look. I'm going to say it. Dude, she told you. All right? Elizabeth Warren told you. You want to get shit done. These motherfuckers are holding all the cards. There was a report was a report out from the Post, I think, this week that said that they estimate $1.4 trillion in taxes are not being collected from the rich because basically the IRS has been defanged over the last number of years, right? That has been a big thing for Republicans is to keep cutting their budget so they have less and less people to go after rich people. $1.4 trillion. That is more than enough to do some serious damage as far as fixing some problems, fixing right. bridges, getting that, you know, mass transit and things like that. That is more than enough money to help.
That's the other thing too. Like if you want to talk about tax increases on rich people, which by the way, not an unpopular policy position in the first place.
No, it but is not. But there's only a yeah. couple people who are pissed about it.
That's right.
It.
But if you want to market it that much, don't even market it as, hey, we're gonna make rich people pay more. No, we're gonna make rich people pay their share. Because yeah, that's always been the best argument right now. Right.
It's always been the best argument. Yeah. So. Look, $1.4 trillion just hanging out in the bank is crazy. Like, that's crazy money. So, yeah, hit them up. And again, all that Joe Biden is a fucking classic corporate Democrat. Yo, they're talking about raising taxes on these guys. Like, well, a number, like, one, raising the corporate tax. Look, raising it to 28%, that's great. Should be
still,
like.
By the way, still lower than it was.
Yeah.
20% would still be lower than it was during the Obama presidency. It was 35%.
Yeah. It should be higher than 35%. Yeah. How about 50%?
No. Fuck like them. I said, like I said before, you can make it 20% as long as it's a real 20%.
Right. You still are. Yeah. Even at 28%, you ain't getting all that. Like, right. It should be fine. You want to make it. Look, I'm even cool with them saying it's 30%. But guess what? It's no loopholes, 30%, period. That's it. Like, there's no getting around it. We come into your house, Amazon, we're collecting our 30%. Like, that's what it should be, period. That's it. It is what it is. But yeah, you're right. Like, it could be as low as 20%, but it has to be with no loopholes.
20% based on revenue, period. And that's it. No loopholes, no nothing other. You report your revenue, it's 20%. If you can't manage your business successfully, fuck you. You probably don't deserve to have one.
It's not our problem.
Because it's literally what your employees are forced to deal with every fucking day.
Right. So. I'm way more apt to make it higher than 20%, but I hear you. Your point stands.
Yeah.
Because I would love it to be 35% with no loopholes.
But that's never going to happen.
Like, yeah,
I know.
That's never
going to happen. That would be a bigger issue across the board.
Well, so. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Then make them pay $10 trillion so we can fund infrastructure properly. No, but look, again, I'm not even mad if they said 20%, but there's no loopholes. There's no way to get around it.
You mentioned that they're gonna try to use reconciliation for that.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll see because
it's gonna be tough. It ain't gonna be easy.
So Schumer's putting the For the People Act on the floor, and he's gonna put it on the floor for the vote, knowing that it's gonna get filibustered. And considering the things that are in this bill, it's a great litmus test to really test the more moderate Democrats who are trying really badly to hold out for the filibuster to push them against the wall, because it is going to be very difficult to force them to stand up and say it is more important to protect this non-tangential thing against expanding voting rights, against making district drawing fair, against, you know, early voting and things of that nature that are incredibly popular, that are bipartisan for fuck's sake. Like, Republicans love what's in the bill until they learn who wrote it. And then, and
voting rights.
Right. Is the filibuster really the hill that you want to die on to prevent the country from enacting common sense? It's not even progressive legislation. It's common sense legislation.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, these are things that should have been done 25 years ago. But
a good litmus test.
It is. I mean, I did see where Sinema was like, well, I'm against it, but maybe I'm not.
Manchin has started to, like, you know, it was like, first of all, like, Jesus Christ, why are you asking me no? To, well, I'd like to see the talking filibuster come. Like now even he's starting to open back doors into his thoughts.
Right. Process, and so. But the only way that you're going to get that is, I mean, that was why I was saying, like, put it in a defense bill. Yeah. Make him vote against it. Make him vote against it. Right. but or like the minimum wage, like make them vote against it. Like, oh, I don't want to do it. Cool. Oh, what about the troops? Oh, narratives, right? Like, so yeah, that troops. Yeah, fuck them. Right? Who cares? Right? That's kind of how they act when it's inconvenient. But look, it's I think Schumer is really good at this, and like he has a tendency to bend on some things that he shouldn't bend on, obviously, which pisses me off. But he is a smart dude, and he's gotten as far as he's gotten because he's smart.
Well, and this is why it's important to have, even though like we only have the slimmest of slim majority, like literally the slimmest majority that we can have in the Senate. And even though it's going to still be tough while we work through the stuff, it's why it's important to have a Democrat in charge, because Mitch McConnell wasn't stupid enough to bring anything like that to the floor, even for a debate.
Nope.
because he knew what the coverage and the perception would be if he did. And he certainly wasn't stupid enough to bring it up for a vote.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because somebody's like, yo, I'm in a purple district here, like, or purple state.
Right.
I have to go with it. Like, and then you're fucked. Like, you can't afford it. So, which is why he had like 700 bills sitting on his desk, just languishing. He didn't care. Look, and again, McConnell's not stupid. He's a piece of shit, but he's not stupid. Like, he's very fucking smart, and I hate him because he's incredibly smart. I wish he was just a dullard, but he's not. So, yeah, look, I think that's a good tactic. But, you know, getting back to the actual, you know, idea of the reconciliation bill, under the reconciliation process, Democrats need two things to get legislation passed, which is 50 votes in the Senate, and they need a ruling from the Senate parliamentarian that the proposed legislation is eligible for the Congressional Budget Act of 1974. So I feel like the infrastructure one will make it through in the jobs, but like that's why they're amping it up all together, like pre-K, and like it's all money, right? Like there's nothing else in it but just money all the time. But getting three separate reconciliation chances in, you know, one go is pretty fucking hard. Mm-hmm. So the White House would decline to comment because, you know, Trump tried this. He did tax cuts through reconciliation, which passed, obviously. He tried to do reconciliation to kill Obamacare, but John McCain was like, no. So he basically fucked him, and then he died. So that was his last move. I wish he had just died at that moment. That would have been fucking awesome.
It would have been baller.
Yeah, just like, not that I want John McCain to die on the Senate floor. Not like mean.
I'm pretty sure John McCain would have preferred to die on the Senate floor.
Honestly. All right, that's probably true, actually. Like, but just the idea of him being like, fuck you, Trump, and then just die right there. But no, that would have been the ultimate. Like, that would have been great. So, yeah, like, they're going to try it, and they're going to go for it. But, yeah, I'm sure that Schumer and those guys are definitely trying to figure out, like, let's push Sinema and Manchin, push them up against a wall as much as they can to see if they can move them.
Well, and that's the funny thing. Like, he doesn't have to worry about protecting their seats, per se. Because, like, Sinema, like, you know, if she becomes deeply unpopular, which, by the way, when she did her cute little, you know, thumb down curtsy against the minimum wage thing.
No, people hated that.
She's sitting at about, I think, like plus 11 favorability with Democrats right now. Mark Kelly sitting at about plus 55%. So that just goes to kind of show you where people are with that. But he knows that all you'll get is a different Democrat to primary here for the seat, who will have the same chance that a Republican will have in a general election. So it's not like, you know, that it's not a big deal to hold, you know, Kyrsten Sinema's feet to the fire, because you're not going to necessarily lose anything. Whereas Republicans have to be fucking genuinely concerned, because it's not like their ranks are growing in terms of voters.
No. And Arizona is purple, but it's getting more on the bluish side of purple, right? Like,
I think it's still a lean red state.
You think so?
In the best of times. I do. I think Trump was a huge animating factor in Arizona doing well for the Democrats in the last two elections. I'll be curious to see what this midterm looks like in terms of Arizona. Mm-hmm. But it is trending, but I mean, most states are going to be trending blue unless they're the rubiest of ruby rich states, just because a lot of Republicans are dying and they're not really resupplementing their ranks with new voters.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I'm very, very interested to see what they do. Wow. NBC News, Florida's Ron DeSantis positions himself as Trump's heir to the White House. Yo, the idea of Ron DeSantis being president is crazy to me. Like, the fact that that guy could even get out of the primary would be insane.
Here's a real question for you.
How?
Would Ron DeSantis be a less competent president than Trump?
Yeah, I think he would be, actually.
I think you're right.
I think he would be less competent.
He's a dullard and a half.
That dude is dumb, man. He's dumb. Like, he's real dumb. Trump's dumb, too, but Trump has charisma. Ron DeSantis does not have charisma. He's dumb and boring, which is a terrible combination in politics. Like, you can be exciting and stupid, boring and smart. But you can't be dumb and boring. Like, you got to give people something to get behind. It's like, this guy's really intelligent, or this guy is really fucking cool. Nah, you can't fail at both, man. You really can't.
I mean, he still does have to win re-election next year, does he not?
I think so.
Yeah.
So this guy's looking at the presidency already?
Please, no. That's all right. I could.
Okay. That feels like a real fast leap to get smacked down pretty hard. I think Mike Pompeo has a much better chance than he does.
And Mike Pompeo does not have a good chance. I don't think.
Mike Pompeo, if he doesn't do well, I think he could do really well at the Mandarin Chinese Theater playing Fred Flintstone. Like, I do. That guy's got a fucking massive head. So, yeah, if he ever needs to, you know, dress up and, you know, do cosplay for kids for pictures, he's got a job. Next up, USDA to increase SNAP food aid by 15% through September. U.S. Department of Agriculture announced Monday a 15% increase to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits through September, providing about $3.5 billion of assistance to people affected by food insecurity. Look, again, these are things that do not get touted on websites who are asking us to spend $10 trillion on infrastructure. These things are things that really matter, right? This is not bullshit. This is not, you know, pie in the sky ideas that never work out. These are helping people get food on their tables. Like, that is the type of shit that Democrats are, in fact, good at, right? Like, they don't brag about it enough, but these are the type of things that they help with. And they're not sexy topics.
To echo your conversation last episode with Andy, like, so, you know, to increase SNAP 15%, it costs $3.5 billion. Why isn't this something we're just doing anyway? Like,
Why does it take
this relief package
Thank you.
To do this thing? Do you understand, like, how little amount of money in the grand scheme of things $3.5 billion is?
Why not make it $10 billion?
You think you might be able to carve out a teeny tiny bit out of that defense budget possibly to fund something like this?
All right. Hey, you know what would be really awesome? If we spent more money on feeding and housing and taking care of our own people, you know what we wouldn't have to do? Engage in as many wars. You wouldn't have to, right? Because we wouldn't be over there mining other people's business and people going, well, let's go blow them up. And then we keep re-engaging. Like, there's a lot of domestic spending we could do, like a lot, that would help us to stop. Like, people would be like, well, you hate America. Oh, what have they done lately? I mean, nothing. They seem to be just taking care of their own people. Like, yeah. The biggest issue most people have with America is we don't mind our business.
And
I'm not saying we have to be isolationists, but like.
Yeah, and like I said, yeah. I'm even more sympathetic to us having a large world presence. Like, if you have the biggest stick, like, you're kind of dependent upon with a lot of smaller countries. Like, I'm sympathetic to that argument. It still doesn't require us spending more than like the next 20 countries combined on defense.
Like, how about just spending like the next 10 countries? Yeah. Cut in half.
How about we get down to just $500 billion even? We throw out a lot of shitty R&D projects that aren't going to fucking go anywhere anyway. That'll cut a bunch out of the budget, and just fucking chill out. Or, you know, maybe they can use the same like Kevlar vests that they have right now. Maybe they don't need new ones. Or I don't know. I don't even know what goes into
defense budget. See, Brad wants our poor troops to walk around in 2020 technology, 2020 fashion, when they could be rocking 2021 fashion. Which, you know, it's like, you know, ruching or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's on vest. Who knows? But it costs us like $300 billion. But look, yeah, I mean, yeah, we talked about last week. It's the idea of like, we're going to spend $120 billion additional education. Well, why don't we just spend $200 billion all the time? Like more. Yeah. Like just more. Like, come on. Help people. Like, these things can be fixed. Like, we can reprioritize and actually do things for people permanently. Like, there's no reason we can't. And spend $10 trillion on an infrastructure plan, which is fucking bonkers. That's just like, why don't you just bet all your money on a horse? Like, it's just as reasonable. It's like, as far as I'm concerned. It's stupid.
I wonder what else Sunrise Democrats want to get in the infrastructure plan that bulks the price up to $10 trillion. Like, you know, Green New Deal, sure, I get it. You're going to try to shove that in there. What else are you trying to shove in there?
Oh, it's got to be a train for everybody, right? Everyone gets their own train?
Everyone gets their own personal train. Yes, yeah. That must be it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's got to be it.
Go ahead, Sunrise Democrats. You got it, I guess. I don't know. And neither do you. So yeah, man, 15% increase. Look, a couple of things that are really interesting in this article. During the first few months of the pandemic, black households with children experienced food insecurity at nearly two times the rate of white households with children, per a report from the Northwestern University Institute for Policy Research. That alone, and you know, make it a racial component, don't make it a racial component, I don't really care. People don't have food. That's unacceptable to me. If we can afford to blow people up, with precision, and spending hundreds of billions of dollars to do so, we can afford to make sure every citizen in this country can eat and not just like garbage. They can actually afford food. And if they don't have the money, then help them. That's the point.
It really does put it into perspective when people like to fucking thump their chest and talk about America's the greatest country in the world. Like, what are you basing that on? Actually, like
hubris.
If you're talking, yeah, like if you're talking in terms of military supremacy, sure. Like, we're gonna kick.
Oh yeah, no, we'll kick the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, that runs up in a war, guys. That's fine. But is that really the measure of a fucking country? Like, is that really how the yardstick that we should be, you know, evaluating ourselves against? Like, it's embarrassing that, you know, all these other high GDP nations, Britain, Japan, France, you know, places like that, all have healthcare. Like, it's not a problem over there at all.
Or compare us. I mean, I know, you know, allow me to put on my mittens and my Bernie wig for a second, but like, compare us to the Scandinavian countries.
Yeah.
They, like, in every, you know, world survey, they are the happiest people in the world. They are. And like, it's not like they live in like place that feels like Miami all year. They live in
it's basically like North Canada,
right?
Like, that's what this shit is.
Just like hanging out with around a bunch of fjords. Like, the weather stinks. It sucks, but they're taken care of, and they know that they work jobs and they're happy. But they know that their healthcare isn't going to you know, if they get sick or something like that, it doesn't crush their lives. And they know that their kids are going to be able to drink fresh water and, you know, breathe fresh air, and that, you know, their country gives a shit about their well-being. Like, we could do that. We have more than enough money to do that. We do. We have more than enough money to do that and still go kick the shit out of anybody else we want. Like, I don't understand the idea that we can only do one or the other. That simply isn't true. Like, we can prioritize domestic spending and help people, but what we have is a system, and I'm not even going to say it's one party because both parties are guilty of this. We have a system that just doesn't ultimately prioritize American citizens. It prioritizes businesses over them. It prioritizes military action over them. And what it should be doing is it should be people first, you know, businesses second, and then military spending third. If those are the main three, like that should be the priority. Every, you know, chicken in every pot sort of thing. Every fucking American citizen on Christmas and on any holiday should be able to sit at home and be comfortable in a warm fucking house with or AC if you live in California, you pricks. You lucky bastards. And they should be able to sit in their house with, you know, a nice home. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, given to them by the government, but they have a good job. They can take care of their family, and everybody doesn't have to be a millionaire either. But when people are starving, like you said, like what is the measure of a country? Like if they are starving, if they are dying, if they don't have health care and stuff like that, then you're not the greatest country in the world. Like you're just simply not. So, you know, obviously the answer is Canada.
I hear you. But two things. Number one.
Yes.
Okay, commie. Number two.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
Drone strikes.
Yeah. I mean, they're expensive, right? Like, yeah. Somebody's going to pay for this. Yeah. Yeah, we could be better. We could be better. And we should be. I don't think we ever will be.
not in our lifetime.
Probably. Not in our lifetime. You know, speaking of that, I was just thinking the other day, boy, do we live in a hell of a time. Like you and I, right? Mm-hmm. And people listening, we live in a hell of a time. And I think we've lost sight of that. Like American history is super fascinating and all the changes that have happened. But in our lifetime, we have seen more political progress. I would say just shy of like the civil rights era, right? Like where that was like, wow, like that's like 0 to 60 in a lot of ways, right?
It's not just political progress either. And you're not even talking about tangible gains. You're just talking about shift in perspective more so, I think.
No, I mean, tangible things as far as like just elections alone. Mm-hmm. We have seen the first biracial identifying as black president. We have seen the first woman VP who is also black and South Asian. Like in our lifetime, we saw that. And it wasn't like 55 years apart. It's like since 2008, things have moved so fast. We've seen our first Asian American presidential nominee. Like not like some dude who didn't make it on the stage. Like that's crazy to me how fast things are moving. That it is very possible.
Seeing our first homosexual presidential nominee.
Right, right.
As well, too.
Like I don't think people realize like how fast things are really moving. Like it feels, especially over like 4 years with Trump, like it feels like we're not making progress. But like as a society, things are moving quite quickly, right? Like the idea, oh, I don't know when we're going to get a woman president. Dude, it's coming real fast. Look, Joe Biden take another tumble. It's going to be like next week. You know, that meme of her like rubbing her hands is fucking hilarious. But I think it's a lot faster than people realize. Like it's super wild.
I mean, it should have been, you know, in my opinion, it should have been negative 4 years, you know.
Well, I would agree with you.
4 years right. away, but
she got fucking cheated. But
it is what it is.
But I mean, but even that, right? The first female nominee, right? That didn't happen before. Like so things were all the same, like politically, largely all the same. And then we hit like 2008 and shit just like took the fuck off. So it is wild. I mean, we're even sitting on the precipice of a former president trying to run again. Like, that's a fucking crazy thing. He'll be dead by then. Don't worry about it. But, like, that's not new.
Is that not new?
Who
else ran? James Garfield had two terms, but they were
split. Oh, split. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
They were split terms.
You're right.
So that is not a phenomenon, Jim.
You're right. Fucking Garfield. But, yeah, I mean, I find that level of progress.
Still abnormal.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, he's definitely abnormal. But again, he'll be dead by then. So we're progressing in a way like that doesn't mean like, oh, we're getting everything we want and stuff like that. No, it doesn't. But there are things that are changing at a clip. And I don't think people are really taking the time to sit down and really think about that. Like,
yeah,
it does matter. It does matter. So, all right. Yeah, look, helping put food on the table with this 15% increase is pretty good. It's basically $100 more a month for people who are on SNAP.
Just make this fucking permanent. Like, it's not even that hard.
No, it's $3.5 billion.
Budget that in.
$3.5 billion.
Yeah.
Get rid of a tank. I don't know. Like,
seriously.
Yeah, your tanks are mad expensive, like, or a jet, right? Like,
yeah.
Build like five jets, and that's like $3.5 billion.
Build like 100 less missiles. It's fine. They're stockpiled. We're good.
Yeah, like
you're
but,
all right.
But Brad, we only have 9 million of them. Surely we need 500 more.
but then people at Lockheed Martin won't get a raise this year because they need to maintain incredibly high corporate profits that they probably don't pay any taxes on.
Yeah, I just like, yo, a F-35 costs $80 million.
Just one F-35.
Just one F-35. That's incredible.
And look, if we've learned nothing from True Lies, if Arnold Schwarzenegger gets his hands on one of those things, that's $80 million that you just threw out into the fucking sea.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. Come on. That's fucking nuts. All right, here you go. B-2 bomber, right? Mm-hmm. Badass, Broken Arrow. Not a good movie.
Bite your tongue, sir.
I will not. I will not. Get the fuck out of here.
I really enjoy that.
Look. I didn't say I didn't enjoy it. I said it's not a good movie. Those are two wildly different things. It's ridiculous.
Next time on New Time to Bleed.
I have my next one, and we're gonna have to bring in all the look forward people for it because
I've already watched the movie, sir. We're good to go.
Yeah, no, look,
I got the notes.
I'm ready. I can't wait. B-2 original unit cost was $737 million, making it the most expensive aircraft ever built. However, due to retrofitting and adjustments in 1997, its overall cost now stands at, remember, for SNAP, for the entire country, it's an increase of $3.5 billion. For the retrofitting and adjustments for the B-2, it was $2.1 billion. It cost $135,000 an hour to operate. We can't give kids food? Come on, man. Like, knock it off. Knock it off. I don't want to hear.
Who are you bombing right now? Anyway, no one's flying bombers over fucking countries right now.
I don't even think we use B-2s anymore.
It's all drones, baby.
I honestly don't think – I think the B-2s are retired, right? Like, they have to be. They were fucking badass, though. What a cool fucking design.
I mean, look, if you have to destroy 20% of a country.
Yeah. Like, I mean, kind of, yeah, you do. that's fucking nuts. Wow, $2.1 billion. Don't talk to me about you can't feed kids. Like, don't talk to me about that shit. It's nonsense. Yes, we can. We choose not to. And that, to me – as a country that touts itself as being very Christian and very moral, is fucked up. As an atheist, all I'm thinking is take that jet money and like make some chicken and give it to kids. That's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. It's not that hard. Look, this next story is a slick story, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Defrauded students to receive loan forgiveness. So the education department came out this week and said students who were defrauded by for-profit colleges will have their federal school loans eliminated. That is 72,000 borrowers, and that is, I believe, over $1 billion. Yes, the change will eliminate approximately $1 billion in student loan debt for 72,000 borrowers. This is a slick story. This is a primer, as they say. This is to let people know. They want to see what the backlash is. We're going to forgive this because these people got scammed. Huh? Republicans? Huh? You quiet? You ain't saying too much? All right. This is the precursor to actual loan forgiveness. I don't think it's going to be $50,000 like for like regular people. I don't think so. I think it'll be lower than that. And so then people will be like, well, it was only $30,000, so this is bullshit and it doesn't mean anything. But I think you're closer to like $30,000 or $20,000 in loan forgiveness, which I'll take, by the way. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have $30,000 to just kick around. And I'm rich. So, like, as people know, I'm not rich. But, yeah, I think this is a precursor. What are your thoughts?
I didn't think about it in that sense, but I am coming around to your way of thinking here. It's a good I looked at it as a good start.
Yeah.
These are certainly the folks who deserve it the most based on circumstances. Even though I don't think that – I'm pretty sure that the Trump University people would have gotten reimbursed by now thanks to the lawsuit. But, you know, a nice sideways shot across the bow
right.
as well against the outgoing president. But no, yeah, if you I'm with the idea that they're floating this out as a trial balloon of sorts, just to kind of gauge the temperature.
Look, one thing I find funny is that in this $1 billion are definitely people who went to Trump University. that's one of the things I find to be humorous. But yeah, I think it's a trial balloon. And I think it's a good one. Cause I look, man, they got scammed. Like, who's arguing like, well, they should have known it was a fake college? Like, come on, man. Like, that doesn't make sense. And weirdly, this might seem odd, but I also think it's a nice move for immigrants, because a lot of the people who get screwed in this are immigrants. And I think it's a good look to be like, look, you came to this country, you signed up for the school because you thought it was like a legit school, because you don't know, right? You know, and I think it looks good for the president and the education department to be like, we got you. Don't worry about it. We're protecting you. That's a good look. Also, this is another C. Betsy DeVos fucking sucked and we don't move, right? You got to let people have faith in the education department again, and they don't right now. So to forgive $1 billion in loans is a pretty good one. And to let the education department be the ones on the lead on that is pretty dope. So I like it. What's the golden number for you for debt forgiveness for regular college? Is it 10 trillion, Brad?
Why stop there, Jay?
You know what? That is actually the correct answer. Why stop there? It's not truly. What is loan forgiveness, if not $10 trillion persevering, Brad? that's a WandaVision joke.
It's hard to settle on one number. Like I said, I think if you get like in 30 to 50 range, I feel like that's pretty good. I don't think too many people are going to be upset.
Yo, $30,000.
Having that much of their loans being forgiven. It's huge.
$30,000 would be enough for me. Look, it wouldn't end all my wife's student loan debt, but it wouldn't hurt. like I think I saw people when this was getting debated, people were like, $30,000, that's nothing. I'm like, yo, why are y'all talking like y'all got 30 G's in your pocket? $30,000 to not have to pay back? Are you kidding me? Yes. I will take – look, if you said it's $10,000, I'm okay with it. That's helpful.
That's just 30% off the principal too. Like, we're not even computing interest into the equation.
Right,
by the way.
Right. Like, we're taking it off the top. Like, the shit that really fucking matters. So, like, yeah, you're trying to get that shit out of there. So, look, I think $30,000 is likely where they go. I think 50 sounds too much. I'm not saying 50 is too much, but I think 50 sounds too much, right? But because it sounds like 50,000, 50%, you know, like just narratively, it sounds like too much. Not to say that I think it is too much, but I think 30,000, again, 30,000, only 30%, right? You still got to pay 70%. It's like, well, it's not actually 70%. Well, like, and I think that
and
can
again,
work.
Too, like that, a lot of that. A lot of the loans that you can forgive, that's not even an actual spend. Like, that's just money that you're not going to be collecting.
Right. They don't lose anything.
Yeah. Like, you've already, like, that money's already been spent. Like, it's you can just treat it as a sunk cost and it's gone.
Right. You zero it out, whatever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It doesn't hurt your balance sheet. You're not expecting, like, and also, a lot of times they don't even get that money back. Like, people just like, they defer, and then they just die. They just don't get, you don't ever pay the government. Like, well, that's not my problem, right? Or people just don't pay that loan. Like, they're like, fuck you. There's no pay it. Nobody goes to jail for not paying the FAFSA, okay? You might fuck your credit up, but like, nobody's going to jail over that shit. So, but if they could, I think if they got 50,000, I would love it. Sounds good to me. But I think it would make Biden look like he's just he's just taking the lead of the progressive, you know, candidates who ran against him and, you know, like Warren and stuff like that, by just adopting her policies. But I think if you say, hey, you know, your policy was good, but I am not going to do 50,000, I'll do 30,000. What, Warren's not going to be on board for that? Of course she will. She'll tout that shit as like, this is a success. We didn't get where we wanted to, but this is going to help real people. And that's all that matters. Like, if you're going to fix things, you're never going to fix, you can't fix it all in one afternoon. But look, if there is anybody out there going to sit there and tell me that $30,000 on their student loans ain't shit, no, I'm not even remotely entertaining that bullshit argument. Like, I'm not. That's 30 grand, yo. Unless you got $30,000 that you could be putting on your student loans today, then shut the fuck up. That's my answer. Just shut up. Like, now if it's like $3,500, that's insulting, right? Like, that's not helping us. But my guess is it'll be somewhere between $30,000 to $50,000 is where they'll come out. I mean, some people are like, forgive all student debt. Relax. Like, why don't you just say $10 trillion for infrastructure? Like, these numbers are just like, they're just fungible. Like, they don't mean anything to you. Like, this is actual money. But I could see $30,000, and they would still have some revenue coming in, like plenty of revenue coming in. But for a lot of people, that'd wipe their books, man. That would wipe mm-hmm. their books. And then they'd just be like, I mean, think about it. If you are a 20-something year old and you've been convinced that you need to go to college to make it, and it's true, like, you know, you don't have to. I don't mean it to sound like that, but a lot of careers, you need to go to college, right? And if you've been telling kids for decades that they need to go to college, and then they go to college and the jobs are so few and far between because of the economic downturn and everything else, and they've accrued $30,000 in debt, how the fuck are they supposed to get out working at Pizza Hut? Like, they can't progress. And you have to remember, cutting this debt, I mean, I know you know this, Brad, but like, cutting that debt helps them to spend money in the economy. Well, thus,
that's the biggest thing. Like, too, come on. That's what you don't realize, is that people are like, oh, why, you know, why can't millennials get houses? Why, you know, why aren't they having kids? This or the other. I don't know. Might be the crippling student loan debt that they're fucking saddled with because they were told that they have to go to college. And again, and like, so like for my example personally, me in college didn't get along you know, the semester that I was there. So I bounced out, and I've made it and have been successful. It's been a long road to get there though. Like, I had to work my fucking ass off. And weirdly enough, I'm almost in a better position as a result, because I'm not saddled with this like albatross around my neck.
Right.
And that it shouldn't be that way. not to say that I should be like fucking struggling and shit, but I shouldn't be in a better position than someone who's my age, who did go to school, you know, who maybe got out of the blocks a little bit faster, but is still living in an apartment because they can't afford, you know, a mortgage payment.
Right.
Cause
they have a $700 a month student loan bill, right? Like, that's right. Crazy. Here's a little statistic. This is 2021. So this is, you know, up to date. 43.2 million student borrowers are in debt. An average of how much each, Brad? $39,351. Now, obviously, that's not all federal. That's not all federal. That's just in general. Well, I have the federal numbers too. So this gives you an idea of likely where they go, right? Because they're not just making a number up out of whole cloth. They're thinking, right? Like, they have to pay attention. You know, this isn't the Trump administration. The outstanding federal loan portfolio is $1.56 trillion, or like two B-2 bombers. approximately 42.9 million Americans with federal student loan debt each owe an average of $36,406 for their federal loans. $36,000. So if you dropped it at 30 grand, that hits the vast majority of people, and they just owe $6,000. $6,000 feels like, I can pay that. Like, let me stretch out the payments a little bit, maybe make it down to $200 a month, but I can pay that. You could pay that $6,000 and get it done. Even if you kept the payments at where they were, you could probably get through it in a year or two, and then you're done. Then you're done. So $30,000 is my bet. That's my bet. At 36 grand on average, 30 grand, That helps a lot of people, man. That helps a lot of people. And again, all of that money that gets forgiven, all of that frees up, like, it takes people out of a poverty mindset, right? Like, it's not just the notion that they have this money that they don't owe anymore, right? Because that's true, right? That's a tangible, or not tangible, but that is an obvious, you know, surface thought process. But the other deeper thought process is people have a poverty mindset when they have $36,000 worth of debt looming over them. So it's like, well, I'm not going to buy a new car. I'm not going to try to get a house. I'm not going to get married because that, you know, like they feel like they're not ready because they have all of this debt. Like, people do things like that. And that's a very real thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that is a poverty mindset where rich people are like, I don't give a fuck. Put it on the credit card. Like, they don't care, right? But it's a poverty mindset. And if you've got almost $40,000 looming over you and then suddenly you don't, then it frees you up to do the things that maybe you wanted to do. Maybe travel. Maybe, you know, buy that house. Try to buy that house. Maybe try to get the car that you want. Buy a TV. Get a PlayStation. You know, live just a more, you know, just buy things, right? You don't have to eat fucking ragu every fucking, you know, every day. Like, live your life. And that all helps the economy. It's the same principle as raising the minimum wage. It's no different.
It has never, ever failed. When the government gives regular people money, they fucking spend it.
100% of the time. Yeah. So I like student loan forgiveness frees up money in the economy, which means that people will spend. Which, look, right now, like, again, like you said, they're not losing this money. It has already been spent, right? In the middle of COVID, in the middle of trying to come back and build back better and all this other stuff, what you need is an economy that is raging. And the thing that would help rage that economy is if, let's see, 43 million, a little over half of the 43 million Americans who have $36,000 of loans doesn't have that anymore. And they go, holy shit, let's rock and roll.
Like, I mean, just look at the stimulus payments that have been coming out. Like,
yeah.
Have you seen the housing market lately? It's insane right now because interest rates are fucking nothing. And you just gave people thousands of dollars that they're like, holy shit. Here's my down payment. Like, between that and my equity, we're going. Like the people that didn't need the fucking, like, the stimulus money to actually, like, for essential things like rent and things like that,
right?
Like, they can use that to invest into other stuff that is going to drive the economy forward.
Yeah,
the market's crazy right now.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at my neighborhood. Yeah, some pretty decent houses over here.
Yeah.
Hey, damn, that's what I pay for my house. Wow, what? Okay, I might have to pause the episode.
Yeah, but don't.
Five bedroom, five bath. Jesus Christ!
Don't look at your house right now on Zillow. You'll trick yourself into thinking.
Oh no!
It's amazing right now. So.
No, that would be a disaster. No, I love my house, man. My house is awesome. This is a big ass house. My house is actually bigger than this, but like this is as big as my house, not including a basement. Ooh, it's a nice backyard. See? So there you go. It's obvious, right? Like, this is a financial win. This is a financial win-win. So I think he's going to come in at $30,000, pissing off people who are not paying attention and helping everyone else. So good for them.
We're past.
Yeah. I was just like, I was looking to see where we were.
We are 100% past.
Yes. Sometimes the gods align, Brad. Sometimes they align. How do I tell this story without being totally mean? I'll try. All right. Welcome to the second hour, guys. Sidney Powell, noted MAGA enthusiast, lawyer.
I'll give you the statement and realize – this is not a word that I use ever, but it feels appropriate here. Dumb lawyer cunt admits that she was full of shit the entire time.
It's true. It's so true. Yo, Sidney Powell is a wild cuckoo bird. That's the best way I can say this. Sidney Powell gives up the game, admits Trump election conspiracies weren't factual. You don't say. turns out Powell is facing a $1.3 billion defamation lawsuit about half a B-2 bomber.
That's another 5% of SNAP for the entire year.
Yeah, there you go. Yo, one, I hope Dominion gets every dime of this money. Or they win. I mean, she ain't got $1.3 billion. But take every dime she's ever going to make from her forever. Powell faces a $1.3 billion defamation lawsuit from Dominion, the voting machine people, because of her false claims about, you know, their machines being rigged and, you know, during the election, Donald Trump won over Joe Biden, yada, yada, yada. She's trying to get the lawsuit dismissed. See, this is the problem when you try to bullshit people when smart people are still paying attention, right? Like, dumb people ain't paying attention. They, oh, Sidney Powell, like, they stopped listening. But, like, the smart people, like, you know, journalists and shit are like, yeah, we didn't forget about your stupid ass. So apparently she's making her lawyers offer her defense as, quote, that no reasonable person would conclude that the statements that Powell made about the election fraud were truly statements of fact. So, yeah, only an idiot would believe what I said was true. So you can't sue me for the statements I made. Like, that's her argument.
Here's what really pisses me off about this story in particular. We've been new.
that is correct.
That this was bullshit. We knew it back in November. The media knew that this was bullshit back in November. Then why the fuck are you running her press conferences? Why the fuck are you giving this story air? Why the fuck are you allowing this narrative to be pushed in any space other than Fox News or right of that? In all honesty, why are you talking about this? Because this story of, oh, by the way, everyone knows I was just fucking around. Like, I went in front of the Supreme. It's no big deal. Like, they knew I was just joshing.
Right.
No problem. This isn't going to get a fraction of the coverage that the actual lie.
They never do. They never do.
And how many times does this have to happen before people start to get wise to it up front? This is the Tucker Carlson defense.
Yeah.
This is the Tucker Carlson defense. Like no person of reasonable intelligence would think that I'm being serious. Like, no, I'm clearly just joking. I'm having a lark with everybody on television every night.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, the problem is the coverage is not even right.
Right.
Way too much power and time is given to the lie, and not enough power and time is given to the truth.
Well, it's not sexy. It's the old adage of the bad says, you know, sensationalist headline is on page one and the correction the next day is on page 16.
Right. Or, you know what I mean? my favorite sort of, idiom for that or whatever you want to call it is, the truth, the lie will make it around the world before the truth has time to put its pants on, right? Like,
yes, yeah.
but that's true, right? Like, she's literally telling you that she's a fucking liar. Like, I'm lying about this. I'm lying about all of it. It's awesome. I can't believe you idiots in the MAGA world believed me. And meanwhile, like, to me, if I'm the judge, I'm like, oh, I'm not dismissing this case. I'm absolutely ruling for Dominion, because what you tried to do, all Dominion has to show, by the way, is loss of business. That's all they have to show, is that you lied and they lost clients. They should get every bit of that $1.3 billion, every bit of it. Because at that point, you just told the judge in the court that Dominion is correct, that what you said was a lie. This is not a parody account. It's not comedy. You're not a clown. I mean, you are a clown, but you're not. I mean, you didn't go to a clown college, right? Like, you're not a formal clown. But
you are a clown.
You are, but you are a clown. But to me, if I'm the judge, I'm like, so why shouldn't I just rule for Dominion right here? You just told me that you lied. They're suing you for lying. Like that's the thing. But this is all, like you said, this is the Tucker Carlson defense. This is Sean Hannity defense. This is the Fox News defense, which is, oh, we're fair and balanced. We're telling truth. We're telling truth. We get in court. Oh, nobody believes this.
We're an entertainment.
Yeah, come on. This is like Comedy Central for news, right? Like, would you take me and Jon Stewart seriously? I could take Jon Stewart more seriously than you. I find it hilarious. From that perspective,
I wish I could find any humor in it at all. Like, it just infuriates me. It drives me fucking bonkers.
No, I think your point is correct. I find the part that I find funny is her saying no reasonable person would believe this, and I'm like, yeah, that would be QAnon. Yeah, you're right.
Dude, the press conference where she talked about fucking Hugo Chavez stopping votes in the middle of the night was on C-SPAN. It was aired on fucking C-SPAN.
Brad, but here's a question for you. Can you prove that Hugo Chavez didn't stop the votes in the middle of the night?
I feel like there's a way to definitively prove that that's true.
Agree to disagree, Brad. Agree to disagree. Death certificates are not a thing. Anyway.
Exhume the body.
Exhume the body. He's holding a Biden sticker. Look at him. Look at him. And smiling. He's wearing aviators in the coffin. We know it's true. Hugo Chavez.
That has to be true, actually.
No, probably. That's probably true.
Guaranteed.
Biden paid for them. She's an idiot. Like, she's an idiot. But I just love that. Like, I would, again, that's why I would love to be able to talk to like a QAnon person, be like, oh, so you believe Cindy Powell? Yeah. Cool. This is what she said right here. Oh, wow.
Well, Jay, she didn't say that. Her lawyer said that. And she's just trying to win a court case. Like, that's all she's trying to do. She doesn't actually believe that, though. How is she still a lawyer, by the way?
Yeah.
How is
she should be disbarred.
Yeah. Immediately. Like, how's that not a thing?
So. Like, if you're admitting that you're lying about a court case, you should be disbarred.
Like that. Right. That you argued in several courts. Like, this was an argument that you made in several cases.
Didn't she go to the Supreme Court?
If she didn't, then fucking Rudy did or somebody
else. One of those idiots did.
But this was the argument that was being made.
Yeah. No, she should be disbarred. Like, it shouldn't even be a question. Her and whatever that other lunatic was. What's the other dumb dude?
There's so many to choose from.
Not My Pillow. I love that I'm like, these people are just like being removed from my brain. It's great. No, he's the other crazy lawyer who was like, he was telling people he was God and shit. Like, he was just a nutcase.
Oh, Linwood.
Linwood. Yeah. Yeah. That guy should be disbarred because they were like, you need to seek mental help. Like, they literally said that. If you have to say seek mental help, I think it's time to take his license. Like, what the fuck? You can't go to get your license renewed. They're like, I think you need to see an eye doctor. No, drive. Drive there, though. No, they'd be like, we're going to keep your license. Dumb.
Treat it like the DMV. Like, when a really old person starts losing their faculties a little bit, you're just like, let me take that from you. Snip and, you know, cut it out. Yeah. Like the judge should be like, hey, sidebar real quick. Can you come up to the thing to get your law license with you? Oh, you do. Let me put this in the paper. you're not a lawyer anymore.
Get out of my courtroom, you idiot. Like, no reasonable person would believe that. Cool. I'm a reasonable person. I don't believe you. You're disbarred. From fun story to not so fun story. Second mass shooting. This is as I wrote it. Second mass shooting signals America's return to "quote unquote" normal. There was a mass shooting in Boulder, Colorado today. Suspect purchased a gun 6 days before the shooting legally, which is interesting. That's like, along with the other mass shooting in Georgia, you can get a gun faster than you can register to vote, which is wild. Priorities. 21-year-old suspect, yeah, which I'm never going to say his name, bought a Ruger AR-556 or 55-6, I don't know, semi-automatic pistol less than a week before the mass shooting. The suspect purchased this this pistol and killed, I believe, what?
10
people.
Including a police officer.
What's that?
Including a police officer. Which helps frame some context for you as the discussion for this story will progress forward. So
yeah, I mean, the Republicans don't really care about killing police officers. I think we've seen that with the Capitol riots. So yeah, killing cops now, totally fine. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing the progression of their arguments, right? Killing citizens. I mean, what are you going to do? Killing little kids. What are you going to do? Killing police. What are you going to do? What's next? Oh, we tried to send in people to kill actual politicians. What are you going to do? What's next? Oh,
wait, sorry. That already happened.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, right? Like, what, you know, fucking Gabby Gifford was shot point blank in the head. Mm-hmm. And those motherfuckers were just still like, nah, don't worry about it. I don't know what the end is. Does Lauren Boebert need to get shot in the head? Like, what the fuck? I mean, like, does her kid need to get hurt? You know, for her to be like, yeah, maybe this is not a good idea?
The end of it comes...
Well, and by the way, I'm not advocating that. I don't want anything to happen to any kids. I'm not even the kids of a fucking moron. And I'll see you next Tuesday. But it's disgusting. Like, these people died for no fucking reason.
And the worst, it's really callous to see the speed to which Republicans pivot immediately towards circling the wagons around the gun industry. Like, fucking, who's his face? Joe Kennedy was in this, or not Joe Kennedy, John Kennedy was in the Senate today. Talking about how, you know, y'all, you know, we have thousands of people die every year from drunk drivers, and you know, you don't see us punishing sober drivers to punish drunk drivers. That are the other thing, which ignores two kind of big things. Number one, we've actually taken quite a lot of steps in the last 30 years or so to protect to cut down on drunk driving. Like, drunk driving fatalities are as low
as they've ever been
last year as they were in like the early 80s.
Right. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Which is a thing. And number two, I don't think, Jay, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, that they don't let just anybody get behind the wheel of a car. It seems to me like you have to go through several hours of training and obtain, what is that thing called that everyone has? A fucking license to be able to operate one.
Yeah. Weird.
Funny how that works.
Like, my whole thing is, like, why don't you just, like, there is common sense gun regulation that everyone, for the most part, wants. You should be licensed. Like, you should be trained so that we know that you're not just some moron.
You should be registered.
You should register.
As you are with the Department of Motor Vehicles.
I just don't understand. Like, well, the government should know how many guns I have. Why not? Well, I'm a legal gun owner. Then why do you care if they know? Like, if I'm just using it for hunting, what do you care if right. Like, I don't give a shit that the state government knows what kind of car I drive. Why do I care? I'm not doing anything illegal in it.
Think of all the things that the government does know about you. They know that you're licensed to drive. They know what kind of car you drive. They know you're fucking, you know, they know how much money you make every year. They,
like,
think of all the, they know your political affiliation. They know all of this stuff already.
Right. Like, so why do I give a fuck? Why do I give a fuck if they knew how many, like, if you are a gun owner and look, I'm so over the, like, making my case that gun ownership in this country is stupid. It is. All right. It's dumb. I'm not going to make my case, but I think it's fucking dumb. And you could make an argument. Well, but freedom. There's tons of countries that don't have fucking, citizens carrying guns and they're fine. So like that argument is bullshit to me. Like, so I'm not even going to make that argument. My argument is this. Why can't you just register the guns so the government knows how many guns you have? And so that, if a gun goes missing, they can, you can call and be like, hey, my gun got stolen. I don't want to be, you know, somebody think I did a crime or whatever. Why is that wrong? If you are a legal, you know, normal gun owner, right? You want to have a Glock. You want to have a fucking AR-15. I don't think those things should be legal. But if you want to have all those things, why is it wrong for the government to know? Why? Besides, they shouldn't know. That's not an answer. Why not? Because it sounds like you want to do some nefarious shit and you don't want the government to know. But if they know what kind of gun I have, then, you know, but what about my freedoms if the government becomes tyrannical? Spoiler alert, dumbass, you have a handgun. They have cruise missiles. If they want to blow up your compound, it don't matter what you have.
An unmanned aircraft to deliver them.
Yeah. What, you going to shoot it down with an AR-15? Good luck. A Predator drone? Hey, why don't you talk to the people in Syria and in Yemen and ask them how that's working out? They got AK-47s. That shit don't work. Like, it don't work. If they want to hit you with a Predator drone, they will. They'll glass all of the whatever Midwest state you live in if they wanted to. So the point, the argument that we shouldn't have things like background checks is ridiculous. What's in your background that you're so afraid to fucking tell us about? Well, what if I just beat the shit out of my wife? Why shouldn't I be able to have a gun? I could think of a couple of reasons. There's no legitimate argument that your gun shouldn't be registered like you register your car. There's no legitimate argument. If you try to make a legitimate argument, I will personally call you on your bullshit. And I can have you on this podcast and we can talk about why it doesn't make any sense.
And Jay, why do you register your car? Because it's a 3,000-pound fucking hunk of metal that can murder someone.
Yes.
If you drive into them, and you should be held accountable if you do.
Right. I'm sorry. There's no – again, I'm not making the argument that you shouldn't own guns. I don't personally think you should be able to, right? I just don't. We have all the crime in the world, and for all these people with guns, it doesn't seem to be slowing down. So it's not a very good argument, right? Oh, it prevents crime. Really? Because people get robbed all the time.
Jay, clearly there's not enough guns.
Right.
We must issue guns to all American citizens.
There are more guns than citizens in the United States, yet somehow y'all keep getting robbed. It's weird. It's weird, guys. It's weird. But I'm not even making that argument, right? That's a purely me argument. I'm making the argument of why can't the government be aware of what you have? If you're doing nothing wrong, if you have nothing to hide, why not? Because I don't want to is a bullshit kindergarten answer. Give a real answer. Because, spoiler alert, there isn't one. There isn't one. There isn't one. In countries like Switzerland and shit like that, that have guns, like guns are incredibly prevalent in Switzerland. They're incredibly prevalent in Canada. They register the shit. They don't have mass shootings and all this other stuff. They don't. Now, this guy, you know, killed these 10 people. And I'm going to give the victim's names. I'm not going to give his name, but I'm going to give the victim's names. He killed these people with a legally bought gun. But he bought it and got it in like immediately because he didn't have to wait while they did a background check to see if this guy was mentally fucking okay. Come on, man. Like, if you're a legal gun owner, you do realize that every time this happens, it makes you guys look crazy, right? Like, if nothing else, separate yourselves from them. I'm a legal gun owner, dude. I don't want to be associated with, you know, fucking psycho over here. I think we should have our guns registered. And yes, you can know what I have because it doesn't matter to me. I'm taking my gun out to shoot a deer. It doesn't fucking matter.
If only there was an organization who used to rally around that principle.
Yeah.
That now just is a fucking baseless lobby to keep the industry's heart beating.
Yeah. That's exactly what they are. Counterpoint, Tish James.
Well, that too.
Soon.
But no, this, it's not, it's very strange to me how, despite the fact that we really didn't have to encounter this very much for the last year or so, thanks to COVID,
yeah.
literally the only good thing that COVID did.
There was another one, like the amount of kids that died from the flu. There was like one kid who died versus like 200 a year.
Yeah.
But it's just because they're distant. Same thing.
But it's wild to me how when the first shooting that happened last week occurred, it didn't shock me. Like, I was kind of just waiting for this to happen again because we all knew that it would eventually. You know, it's never not disgusting. It never makes you feel a certain kind of way unless you're a fucking sociopath. But the fact that it's just not a surprise, like my reaction was, oh yeah, cool. I guess we're back to this again.
Yep.
Now that people are starting to congregate again more in public and things of that nature.
Yeah, I saw Obama said, you know, we can't allow the pandemic to be the only thing that reduces mass shootings. And that's like one of the saddest fucking things I've ever heard. But he's absolutely right.
But again, what do you do? Like even if you somehow, like, best case scenario, blow up the filibuster, you know, and now we can just pass whatever the fuck we want with 50 votes, you ain't getting Joe Manchin to fucking vote for, like, the gun control bill that you need to do anything. You know what I mean?
Probably not. Probably not. More progressives, man. You need more progressives. And again, I'm not even arguing, like, I'm not arguing that you shouldn't be able to own guns. I'm just arguing background checks, which 70%+ of the country is fine with. Background checks, registration of every single gun you own. That's it.
And here's the thing, like most.
And it being a digital database, by the way. A lot of people don't know that shit. They put that shit on fucking paper, so paper. It's incredibly hard for the government to track, which is fucked up. Which is fucked up.
Most sane gun owners that I know advocate for this stuff.
Like, of course.
Jack probably owns more guns than any person that I know personally.
Oh, 100%. He's a lunatic.
And he bangs the – like, he's like, hey, like, these fucking rifles that I have, I don't need to own these. Like, I really don't. I was in the military. I've got the training to operate these safely and properly. Like, I don't have a young child in my home or anything like that. Like, I don't have a history of abuse. Like, it's totally cool for me to own these weapons. I should not have them. Like, this it's his fucking stance.
Right.
On this shit.
But if you're going to own them, just register them. Be licensed. Be trained. Right? Like, in Japan, you can own a gun, but, like, the training for it is incredibly hard. Like, they don't fuck around because they don't want anybody who has them to just be like all willy nilly about it. Like, no. And like, you get like they have like re-up training like every couple of years or something. Like, they're they're not fucking around. Like, you don't get to own this shit, and they know every single person who has one. Guess what? They don't have a lot of gun crime. They don't.
Yeah. Again, the fact that there are countries in the world that have a proud tradition of gunnership, whatever the fuck that's supposed to mean. That line gets thrown about a lot. It's one of my favorites. But the fact that you have countries that do have prevalent gun ownership that don't have this problem should key you in that perhaps our method of doing things is not as good as it could be.
Yeah, it's not.
And that you don't have to be, slave to a interpretation of the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment does not, as you know, we've talked about many times before, does not say in black and white, it's cool to own whatever gun you want. That's not what it says.
No.
You can interpret it that way. You'd be wrong, but it's certainly open to interpretation. But even the Supreme Court has upheld that that's not what the Second Amendment says.
Right. I mean, I literally saw an argument today on Twitter between two people. I did not get involved. I'm growing as a person. I'm trying.
A new Jay.
Yeah. New week, new me.
It took us 3 months.
Yeah. So. New week, new me. It's a new thing I'm trying out. We'll see. But they were literally arguing, and the one guy was like, the Second Amendment says well-regulated militia, dude. And the other guy was like, who was, pro fucking we can have everything, was making the argument. He's like, it says does not, will not be infringed. And the guy's like, but it also said you can't just ignore the part that you don't agree with. That's not how laws work. Well-regulated militia. Are you in a militia? Are you well-regulated? By the way, well-regulated is generally well-regulated by the state because that's where it came from. It wasn't just a bunch of rednecks in a forest playing Halo. Like, that's not what it is. Knock it off. Here's a 2014 statistic. You know, take it with a grain of salt. But Japan had 6 gun deaths in 2014. We had 33,599 that same year.
33,000
gun deaths.
Good Lord.
Not gun incidents, gun deaths. Right? That's everything from me shooting a guy to mass shootings to a kid killing themselves with their parents' gun. 33,599. Right?
I think Switzerland have.
Yeah, that's – I bet it's – yeah. Let's see because they have a ton of guns. But, yeah, it's not high. It's just simply not high. The vast majority of firearm-related deaths in Switzerland are suicides. By contrast, gun crime is comparatively limited. In 2016, there was 187 attempted and 45 completed homicides for a homicide rate of 0.5 per 100,000 people, giving Switzerland one of the lowest homicide rates in the world. 45 people were killed in 2016. 187 attempted. Like, that's it?
And you said 45?
45 actual homicides.
So, and just so that we're comparing apples and apples here, the population of the United States is about 40 times larger than the population of Switzerland. So even if we take that 45 and multiply it by 40, just to, again, keep everything in perspective, that's still 1,800.
Now that's like Baltimore. I mean, come on. We get like 300 gun crime murders a year easily in Baltimore.
So no, that's low. It's more than like the 350, 360 range. Like we usually have one a day, essentially.
Jesus Christ. So, yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. Like, don't tell me. Like when people make these arguments, I'm like, basically their argument is people in America are just crazier. Like, that's not an argument. It's not an argument.
The other argument is, too, is that I fucking hate this line of logic that comes. Well, even if you do this, like you're still going to have guns that are purchased illegally. You're still going to have, you know, gun crime. Like you're not going to be able to stop at all. So does that mean you don't fucking make any progress whatsoever? Like if you can't do a perfect job, then we don't do anything at all? What?
I hate to say it. I hate to say this. That's leftist logic. Like that's far leftist logic. If you can't get it perfect, it doesn't fucking matter. It's the same. And you know why? Because extreme and extreme are the fucking same, right? It doesn't matter what side. It's the same logic. If you don't do something perfect, it doesn't count, right? This is the right wing argument on guns. It's the left wing's argument on almost everything else, right? But yeah, like that doesn't make sense. Well, if you can't stop people from murdering people, why even have laws about murder? I could think of a few. Like, come on, guys, that's silly. That's silly. There are more.
It's also not a logic that you'd apply towards literally anything.
That you shouldn't. Like, you shouldn't apply that. Like, hey guys, we got this bill, cuts child poverty in half. I know that sounds awesome, but I didn't get $600 extra. So fuck this bill. That's the logic. So yeah, I don't apply things like that in the real world because, you know, I'm an adult. Like the world just doesn't function like that. It's not one note in that way. So yeah, again, like people's argument for guns are bonkers to me. They are. They're just absolutely bonkers to me. Speaking of guns, Brad, final story this week. Turns out the old Justice Department, under that guy, boy, should you have put that guy on the Supreme Court. Well, so sometimes hindsight is truly 2020 because you go, we might have fucked that up. We might have fucked that one up. I'm not sure you'd have been in the same situation. But Justice Department is said to be weighing sedition charges against the Oath Keepers for the Capitol riot. Look, sedition is not a little thing. Sedition charges, ultimately, sedition charges can you could be put to death. I doubt that would happen because this is a very political issue. This is not like when we put those Russian spies to death, where everyone's like, "Different Russia, dude. I don't give a fuck." Right? Like, the country's pretty united in like being cool with killing them. This, they're not going to be as united. So I'm totally cool with putting them in like Leavenworth for the rest of their fucking life. No parole. Nobody gets out. You will die in prison. You will die in prison. And look, spoiler alert, I don't think it should just be the Oath Keepers. I think there's a whole lot of them should get sedition charges. And that was the article I could find today. But there's talk that there is a lot of people involved in this that they're looking at possible sedition charges. And I am more than okay with that.
Here's my fear. Not to rain on anyone's parade. When these cases do go to trial, unless the defendants plea out, which I doubt, you're likely to get a few Republicans on that jury.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's going to be really tough, I feel, to convict them, because if you get, you know, two or three guys that are fucking hardcore Trump people that are sympathetic to these folks, yeah, then you got a hung jury.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Here's the thing.
But I do agree. You want to stop the shit from happening again, you throw the fucking book.
You have to. Here's the thing. There's more evidence there than we know. There is.
Most likely.
There is. I'm sure they have communications. I'm sure they have shit that they've said. I'm sure they have audio and videotape that we've never seen. I'm 100% sure of it. And I hear you, and I think you're largely correct at that possibility. My argument would be this. Paul Manafort. Mm-hmm. Paul Manafort is in the middle of Trump world as it got. Roger Stone, in the middle of Trump world, as it got. Put those guys in front of a fucking federal grand jury, and they were like, these dudes are fucking guilty, man. Like, are you serious? Because remember, Paul Manafort got hit with every charge that was put on him except for one, and that woman came out, and it was a hung jury, and that woman came out, and she was like, well, I'm a real big Trump person, but, I mean, all the other evidence was really bad. But she didn't even say that, like, she necessarily thought he was innocent, but she just was like, I don't want to throw the entire book at this guy. So I think in the face of, like, a lot of hard evidence, it's going to be hard to be in that jury and be like, nah, but MAGA, though. Like, yo, just... these dudes are talking about shooting people in the head. Like, what are we going to do? Like,
I haven't shed my cloak of cynicism.
No, I look, and I hear you. Like, that is a perfectly reasonable stance, right?
Yeah.
But when I think back to financial crimes and them being able to nail those guys, and they only got off because Trump pardoned them, I got to imagine this idea of these guys, because they were like communicating with each other and stuff like that. Dude, if you don't think they got that shit, you're crazy. Like, you're crazy. They found cell phones with video with these guys because they were dumb. Oh, I'm going to tape the whole thing and then just go on about my day. Like, and then not delete it off your phone. All right, dummy. Those type of things, like, I think even if you're a MAGA guy, you got to be thinking to yourself, I don't know, man. Like, that's a hard thing. Now, but maybe you're right. Like, I don't know. But also, there's another aspect to this that I think is worth realizing. Trump didn't come out and pardon those people. He could have. No. He could have. So if you're a MAGA head And you're like, well, fuck, Trump didn't even fucking pardon these people. Maybe they are fucked up. Like, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're a MAGA head and you're super crazy, you think these guys are in Antifa. Right? Like, you're like, this is my chance to get Antifa. Like, dude, they're not really in Antifa. They're fucking, they're what they say they are.
See, if I was in the jury room and I felt like that, like some of the Trump folks.
Would oh, be, yeah, I'd push it.
Convict. I'd be like, hey, I think maybe that they're actually Antifa.
I think you, what? I think you're right. Let's get them. Like, yeah, let's get them. Harumph. As a black Trump supporter, I know Antifa when I see them. Like, yeah. They wear black. I'm black. I know. I don't know. But I think your sort of cynicism about it is not unwarranted. But if they could nail Paul Manafort, a guy who is as close to Trump as can be, I don't think it's impossible to get these guys. I don't think so.
I'm happy that they're considering, you know, cranking it up to 11, for lack of a better term.
They should.
That is nice to see. Because I was worried they wouldn't, right? Like, I was worried that too. You know, they would just try to not pull punches necessarily, but not go full hog. But again, you want to stop this shit from happening? This is the way you do it. You show that there's consequences for your actions.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just read you part of the, Uniform Code of Military Justice on sedition. A person who is found guilty of attempted mutiny, sedition, or failure to suppress or report a mutiny or sedition shall be punished by death or such other punishment as the court martial may direct. Yeah. Look, I'm not a capital punishment person. Like, I'm just not. But I'll make an exception. I will. Because I'm not for it when it's like, this guy stole a candy bar, and then like the state of Texas is like, well, he can't count to three, so let's kill him anyway. I'm not cool with shit like that. This is not an argument. Like, they tried to overthrow the government. Like, this is not an argument. Their goal was to overthrow the government. Cool. Let's throw them into the ocean. I don't think you have to shoot them. Just throw them in the ocean.
I'm fine with life in prison. Send them to one of their favorite places on the planet Earth. How would you like an all expenses paid trip to Cuba?
Oh, put them in Gitmo. Oh, that would be awesome. But I would only be cool with that if they live streamed it. That's what I need. I need a live stream. Look, I saw the Mauritanian. You should see it. It's great. Those torture scenes are fucking horrendous. Like, they're horrifying, man. Horrifying. That guy was innocent. That guy was fucking innocent. Seriously, on capital murder, I don't need them to be killed. But life in prison, no parole. They should die in prison. Yeah, they should die in prison. Like, Leavenworth, Gitmo, somewhere bad, man. And you don't get HBO. You don't get to sit in one of these like nice places. You just breaking rocks all day. That's all you're doing. Breaking rocks.
Do they still have breaking rocks prison?
Bring it back. That's still a thing. Bring it back. Bread, water, breaking rocks. That's your whole day. No, you don't get to sit and watch TV with your friends in Oz. No. Breaking rocks. Hard time, dude. Hard time. I don't know. What's a really shit job? Shoveling shit in the summertime? That's what you should be doing. Roofing? I don't know. Like, something miserable. That's what they should do. Fuck them. Oh, you're an oath keeper? Cool. Keep this oath. You will break 10 rocks every day. Fuck out of here. Like, fuck them, dude. Fuck good those Lord. People. Just ship in boulders to these idiots' cell every day. Break that. My hand hurt. Good. Good. Your other hand's going to hurt too. Who cares? Fuck these people, man. Throw them in a box. I don't give a shit. Like, again, if you want people to think, hey, maybe we should try to take over the Capitol. Like, yo, you remember when they threw the Oath Keepers in jail forever? No, bro. I'm good. Yeah. Like, That's the way you learn a lesson. You don't learn a lesson by giving them 5 years and let them come out and be more right wing. No. You hit them with that Timothy McVeigh shit. 200 million years in jail or whatever. Like, no, you're never getting out. You're never getting out. And they need to figure out a way that you can't free a person like that, like as a pardon or commute their sentence. Like, that's what I feel. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like the state, like DC, should somehow take over so that they could all be, like somehow end up in federal prison, but through DC. You know what I mean? So, like, even if Trump became president again, God forbid, like, he couldn't go in and then pardon him, because he would, by the way. Like, know that. He would absolutely do it. He absolutely would. He'd be like, fuck them. Fuck Democrats. And he would do it. He'd let them all out. By the way, just before we end, apparently there was a story that just broke this evening that Trump says that if Republicans take back Congress in the midterms, mm-hmm. he will officially run again in 2024. That is his out. He knows that they're not going to take both chambers. And so he can be like, well, I said, and they didn't do it.
Know. We still got maps that kind of get drawn.
Yeah.
So. And people who know about these things say that currently, with the balance the way such as it is, that Republicans could ostensibly win back control of the House merely by drawing favorable maps.
That's so fucked.
Like that's where the margin is right now.
That's so fucked. By the way, if you ever want to you want to get, I mean, if I was Trump, I probably wouldn't have said this, but if you want to get people back out in the streets, like back to voting for Democrats in the midterms, make that threat. Like, if Republicans win, I'm coming back. They're like, oh, word? We'll see you in 2022, motherfucker. I think not. Like, no. The relief on people's faces right now. The relief. Like, the sheer sigh of relief in this country. If there is even a 1% threat that motherfucker could actually run again, no, yo. People are going to be like, oh, we're not fucking playing. Get the fuck out of here. No. They flip out again. But spoiler alert, I don't think he'll be alive then. To run in 2024? Nah. You seen pictures of him?
One can only.
You seen pictures of him lately?
Apparently he's losing weight.
Yeah, because he's dying, Brad. He's dying. Every time there's a picture of him, he has Band-Aids on his arm. Yo, he's not doing well. He's not doing well. And I'm not rooting for him to die. I'm just saying I won't not celebrate it.
No, I'm rooting for him to die.
That feels wrong, Brad. I was trying to take the more mature route, but no.
Well, look, it's a new year for you.
Oh no, I will celebrate.
Now I'm the shitbag.
So. Wait, whoa! That's implied that I am all. You know what? That feels. See, that's why people call you smug, Brad. That's your problem. That's your problem. Of many.
Look, would I say that I want Trump to die in the first hour? I would not. That's hour two content, just for you.
Would I say it?
Just for you listeners. Just for you listeners.
I would say it. That's the difference between me. I would make it the title. Like, that's the difference between me and most people. Look, I don't think he's going to make it to 2024. He looks horrible. Like, he does not look well. You got to remember, man, some of these people who had, like, really bad COVID cases, they don't live 6 months.
Oh, no. Well,
6 months to a year.
Plus,
they don't.
Like, you know, what ill effects have persisted with him?
Yeah. With that. We don't know. Right? He's out of the limelight. But I think had he won re-election, I don't think he would have made it 4 years. I don't think so. The stress of that would have fucking killed him. So, I mean, look, either way. I hope he dies on the way down that elevator again. I would like to... Good.
Well, you know, if it's stress that's killing him, let's all root and wish for Cy Vance to have even more success.
Yo.
as he gathers more evidence.
Yo, if they start hitting that dude with a bunch of court cases, he in a world of trouble. Like, that's a wrap for him. He ain't gonna be able to handle that. Drag your ass to New York again. Come on back. Don't even leave. We got something for you. Is Melania going to be around to run next to him in 2024? Survey says. Not bloody likely.
You don't think
so? No way. No way.
Remember, she's just as shitty as him, so.
No, I know, but she hates him. She hates that dude.
She does, but she does like the proximity to power.
I think she likes money.
That too.
I think it's. I think if she could fuck a no-name rich man for the rest of her life, I think she'd do that over dealing with that asshole anymore. She doesn't want to touch his penis. Get out of here.
I mean, she probably hasn't even fucking seen him since they left D.C.
She's got to be back in New York, right?
Isn't she still in New York? Yeah.
I don't know. If I was her, I'd be like, deuces. Like that picture or that video when they landed in Florida, right after, you know, right after the presidency was over, she just got off the fucking helicopter and just like he walked out to the cameras. She just walked past, was like, I'm out. Like, she was like, I don't give a shit.
I mean, in all seriousness, like she and Barron might be chilling in the penthouse and he might just be in Mar-a-Lago. Like, he hasn't flown back to New York that I'm aware of since he fucking left.
No, I don't think so.
He's been chilling at his golf course. Like perhaps they are they are separated but not separated.
Yeah.
For all we know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she is or not. Is Melania in New York? No, I don't.
I mean, I also don't really care.
No, I don't.
One way or the other.
Fuck. So. Again, yeah. If they're both dead by 2024, I don't give a shit. It's not a loss. Oh. Yeah, Trump did go to New York at one point 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Yeah, so. All right, cool, good, good. Again, just anytime you want to die is fine. If I woke up tomorrow and it was like Donald Trump is dead, I'd be like, shrug. Emergency show. We'll play Celebrate by fucking Kool and the Gang.
Crap rave.
Yeah, oh.
The ultimate crap rave. It would just be in the background the entire time while we're recording the show.
Fucking dancing. Yes. Yeah, I'm not a fan of music playing under an entire podcast that's obnoxious, but guess what? Spoiler alert, it's on fucking repeat. I guess, that's the end of the episode. I guess we're just, you know, just mulling the idea of the 45th president being dead. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's time to end. Hashtag crab rape. That's it for us. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.